Welcome to Mingwei Radio's Falun Dafa podcast, bringing you a window into the lives of Falun Dafa practitioners across China and throughout the world. Stories include first-hand accounts from practitioners who face persecution in China, as well as insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation.
The following is an experience-sharing article entitled My Decades-Long Cultivation Journey by a Falun Dafa Practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on February 27, 2024. When I was 19 years old in 1998, I was sent to a forced labor camp for 3 years for getting involved in a fight. The guards were basically gangsters wearing police uniforms, and they beat me very badly. In order to survive, I gradually became very cunning, aggressive, and ruthless. I was deeply poisoned by the distorted principles of the Chinese Communist Party, CCP. I did whatever it took to get what I wanted, and I thought that I was clever and wise. In October 1997, I was fortunate to be introduced to Falun Dafa. From then on, I followed Dafa's principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. I understood that all the karma I created from doing bad things must be repaid. Every time my legs hurt unbearably while sitting in the full lotus position for meditation, I told myself from the bottom of my heart that I would never do bad things in the future. I feel so lucky that I was able to learn the great Dafa of the universe and know that the true purpose of human life is to return to one's true nature. I keep the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance in mind and strictly demand of myself to follow these principles both at work and my everyday life. I quit smoking, drinking, gambling, and lusting after women. I stopped telling lies, stopped getting into fights, and got rid of all kinds of bad habits. My changes were well received by my family, colleagues, and friends. Part 1. Standing Up for Dafa. On July 20, 1999, former CCP leader Jiang Zemin launched the persecution against Falun Dafa. Practitioners were illegally detained, sent to forced labor camps, and sentenced to prison. There was no place to reason with the local governments because they all said it was an order from the central government and they could only execute it. As a Dafa practitioner, I felt very pained when I saw Dafa and Master being slandered. Falun Dafa teaches people to be good and have high moral standards. How could that be a crime? Dafa can make a bad person turn around, abandon doing evil things, and become a good person. I knew very well that the government was wrong, and I thought it must be because the government did not know what Dafa really is. Even though my friends, family, and managers all urged me to reconsider, I still went to the petition office of the State Council in Beijing 3 times to tell them the true situation of Falun Dafa. I also went to Tiananmen Square to practice the Dafa exercises and displayed banners with the words, Truthfulness, Compassion, and Forbearance. I was then illegally sentenced to 3 years of forced labor and was fired from my job. I was often harassed and threatened by police, domestic security personnel, and neighborhood committee members. In order to avoid the persecution, I was forced to stay away from my home for 19 years. Part 2. Taking Responsibility. Many practitioners in our region went to Beijing to appeal, and they were severely persecuted. They were illegally sentenced and sent to forced labor camps. Some practitioners gave up cultivation, and some only studied the Fa teachings at home and were too afraid to contact other practitioners. After I returned from being detained in a forced labor camp for 3 years, I saw the overall situation in our region was not great, and I felt a strong sense of responsibility. I thought that we must form one body, but I didn't have much experience and I didn't know where to start. The other practitioners trusted me because I came back from the forced labor camp and had not given up practicing Falun Dafa. At that time, the persecution was very severe. The practitioners at the material production site were under a lot of pressure and did not want to continue producing truth clarification materials. They came to me to see if I could find anyone who would be willing to take the equipment. There were almost no practitioners who were producing truth clarification materials or Mingwei Weekly in our city. Very few practitioners could even access the Mingwei website. I was able to find two practitioners who agreed to take over producing materials, and I took on the responsibility of delivering Master's new lectures, Mingwei Weekly and Truth Clarification Materials, to practitioners in all the districts in the city and the nearby remote mountainous areas. In this way, I started to get in contact with more practitioners. Under Master's arrangement, a practitioner who was good with technology came from the provincial capital, and a practitioner from another city came to our city. After 2 years of hard work, they established nearly 20 material production sites and trained some young practitioners. A practitioner who ran a materials site was arrested. Under severe torture, he gave me and my wife's names to the police. The domestic security police monitored our home for nearly 3 months. When they saw that we had not returned home, they went to look for us at our relatives' homes. Our relatives were worried and frightened. They got the message to us and told us to not return home. We were forced to go from place to place for 19 years. In order to avoid the persecution, we moved 12 times. We had little money and barely made enough to survive. We always bought the cheapest leftover vegetables. Most of the places we rented were simple bungalows. In winter, there was barely any heat, and the water tanks froze. We had to wear hats when we slept. The conditions were difficult, but we knew our responsibilities and mission. The domestic security personnel were always after us. We were regarded as key people for persecution, and they would get rewards if they arrested us. They searched for us everywhere. Our relatives' phones were secretly monitored, and some were called in and threatened by the police. Under Master's protection, we remained in our hometown and quietly fulfilled our responsibilities. We formed one body with other practitioners and worked hard together to save people. Whenever something was needed, I always tried to provide it. A practitioner was imprisoned for 4 years, but he still openly validated Dafa. He wrote, "Heaven will destroy the CCP," on the back of his clothes, and "Falun Dafa is good," on the wall next to the bed. In retaliation, the prison guards severely tortured him. After he was released from prison, he thanked us. "You exposed the persecution I suffered on the Mingwei website many times and went to various departments in the provincial capital to report my situation. The prison director and guards received many calls from overseas and domestic practitioners. They were shocked and eventually stopped torturing me. Otherwise, I would have been persecuted to death." During Chinese New Year and Mid-Autumn Festival, we brought gifts to visit the families of practitioners who were illegally detained in prison. During one harvest season, more than 100 practitioners went to help the families of practitioners who were imprisoned. This news spread throughout the township, and practitioners were praised and admired. A child of an imprisoned practitioner said, "If I could choose my friends, I would choose Falun Dafa practitioners." Our sincere help for the families validated the beauty of Falun Dafa and also exposed the CCP's lies. Many people who had misunderstandings about Dafa hoped it would be soon exonerated. Part 3, Assisting Master in Fall Rectification. During the period of suing Jiang Zemin for instigating the persecution, we tried to closely follow the progress of Fall Rectification. First, fellow practitioners in the city were divided into groups to share their experiences based on the Fa and discuss the lessons we learned from the past. We understood that it was not about doing things, but about cultivation and not about just following the trends. Each of us must act on the basis of saving sentient beings with the purest mentality. Many practitioners talked about their thoughts and understandings and found various human attachments. Through discussions and sharing based on the FA, we improved together and reached a consensus. Four practitioners took the task of sorting out and mailing the lawsuits in four parts of the city. We divided the work in an orderly manner, had open communication, and coordinated well. Every day we sent righteous thoughts as a group to eliminate the interference from evil factors, and we formed a very strong righteous field. 800 practitioners in our city filed lawsuits against Zhang using their real names, and all were safe under master's protection. Money with truth clarification phrases on them is very common in our region. Many store owners and business people understood the truth and were very willing to use the currency. A lot of them received blessings and their businesses thrived. About 7% of the paper currency circulating in our local markets have the truth clarification phrases on them. After the publication of The Ultimate Goal of Communism, we distributed thousands of copies in our area. After reading the book, a government official told a practitioner, "The author of this book is very knowledgeable, and I admire him so much. If you practitioners need vehicles for any activities, I can help with that. Let me know if you need any help with anything. I also want to let all my employees read this book. If another volume of this book comes out, make sure to give it to me as soon as possible." Our material distribution team, which I'm part of, distributed millions of booklets, and our vehicles have traveled a total of 250,000 kilometers. One practitioner said it was equivalent to circling the earth six times. A senior practitioner who clarifies the truth face-to-face said, "We did not let down our local people. We walked through all the city streets and alleys, various communities, farms, shops, and markets so many times. Many people have withdrawn from the CCP and its affiliated organizations, and even those who used to not want to listen to us now no longer say bad things about Da Fa." A practitioner overheard a conversation in the morning market. "There are so many Falun Dafa practitioners now. I sometimes encounter several people a day who ask me to withdraw from the CCP. I am so grateful to Master for creating the best future for Da Fa practitioners as well as all sentient beings who understand the truth. Thank you, Master, for your compassionate salvation and protection. Thank you, Master. Thank you, fellow practitioners."
The following is an experience sharing article entitled "Master Li Helps Me Eliminate Bad Thoughts" by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on February 24, 2024. After my mother injured her back, she was unable to get out of bed. I have four younger sisters and a younger brother. My second sister and I moved in with our mother to take care of her. Our other siblings came over to see her when they had time. I have had mysophobia, an extreme fear of dirt and germs, since I was young, so I asked Master Li Hanzhi, the founder of Falun Dafa, to help me get rid of this fear. Because my mother developed incontinence, I had to clean up her feces and urine. I had never cleaned human waste before, even for my children, so I felt sick and wanted to vomit every time I saw the urine and feces. I told myself that as a Dafa disciple, I must let go of my everyday human notions about sanitation in the human world. I used toilet paper to wipe up my mother's feces and then cleaned her up. I did not smell anything and neither did I feel dirty. I absolutely could not have done this before I began to cultivate Falun Dafa. I am thankful to Master Li for taking away my intense fear of dirt. Part 1, Not Being Tempted. I took very good care of my mother, and I did my best to keep her clean every day. Being unable to move, she often displayed moments of frustration, but no matter what she said, I didn't argue with her. Instead, I told her traditional stories and kept her company to make her feel better. My mother and second sister were very moved and said that I was kind and patient. One day, my third sister phoned, and during the call, my mother kept praising my second sister for cleaning her and taking good care of her, although it was I who cleaned up her feces and urine every day. Hearing their conversation, I felt uncomfortable at first, but I quickly remembered that being a Dafa disciple, I should not be tempted to feel unappreciated. Master must have arranged this opportunity for me to remove my attachment to wanting to be praised. Right after that test, another one soon followed. One day, my second sister said, "Our youngest sister brought 6 chickens from our hometown, and we have split them into 2 families, but not yours." Although I didn't say anything, I did feel a little upset. I had just treated both my fourth and second sister's families to a nice dinner, yet they didn't even offer to give me a chicken. However, I immediately realized that it was a good opportunity to purge my self-interest and that I should be happy instead. 2 days later, my second sister told me that the third sister mailed me 2 large quilts, but now they wanted to convert the 2 large ones into 3 smaller quilts so that our second sister and our younger brother and our mother would each have one. This time, my mind was not stirred at all. When I was able to remove my attachment to loss and gain, my second sister made a lovely quilt especially for me. Part 2, telling the facts to family members. Mother had followed a religion for more than 20 years, but she was opposed to my practicing Falun Dafa. My second sister had always made some negative remarks about Dafa before, and she didn't want to listen to the facts about Dafa. I begged Master to help me save them. Both my mother and second sister had bad tempers. They quarreled every day. One day they argued again, and my second sister yelled, "I don't want to follow your religion anymore. You've been a believer for over 20 years, and you haven't changed a bit. I'll learn Falun Gong from my sister. Look how much she's changed, and she never quarrels with people the way you do." Hearing this, my mother was furious. I told my mother, "My sister is an adult, and she should be able to distinguish between good and bad. Let her make up her mind about what she wants to believe. Don't force her to follow your religion. I admit that the divine being you believe in is a good one." My mother replied, "I quarreled with people because they were wrong." I told her, "Even if they are wrong, they don't have any faith. You are a person of faith. Why don't you look within to find your faults? Master tells us that when we encounter problems, we should first look within ourselves unconditionally because we have faith." I recited one of Master's poems, "Who's Right, Who's Wrong," from Hongyan 3 to her. Quote, "Who's right, who's wrong? As a cultivator, one always looks for one's own faults. 'Tis the way to get rid of attachments most effectively. There's no way to skip ordeals, big or small. During a conflict, if you can remember he's right and I'm wrong, what's to dispute?" Unquote. I continued, "We Dafa disciples cultivate our minds. We follow the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance at all times, whether or not others are watching." I told her that one day my husband and I walked on a section of road that was very muddy, so we both used paper to clean our shoes. Since the road was so dirty, I threw the dirty paper on the ground after wiping my shoes. But my husband took his dirty paper to a trash can far away. I immediately realized that my husband, a non-practitioner, behaved better than I did at that moment. We cultivate our heart. The divine beings can see everything we do, even when no one else is present. My mother seldom listened to me in the past, but this time she asked me to tell her more. In the end, she said, "I've been a believer for over 20 years, and no one has told me these things but you." I knew that once her heart was touched, she would change for the better. In the past, my sister often quarreled with her husband and even scolded him for trivial matters. I told her that cursing is immoral. If she wanted to avoid quarreling with her husband, she should first change herself and be a good person. She asked me when she would be considered better. I replied, "When you can regard your mother-in-law as your mother, then you will be considered a better person." Both my mother and second sister have changed now, and they rarely quarrel. My sister recites Falun Dafa is good, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good every day.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China, and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.